When Mary opened her eyes that morning, her heart sank again. In less than 2 days, her whole world had turned upside down and inside out. Nothing made sense anymore. Everything she had known and trusted and believed in was gone. Grief-stricken, she felt empty, cold, alone. Yesterday was a Sabbath, so Mary couldn't visit Jesus' tomb. So today, rising even before the sun, she rushed there alone. John's gospel doesn't say why. Perhaps she was simply seeking the comfort of being as close as she could get to someone she had loved so deeply, who had been so abruptly and cruelly taken from her. We can all relate to Mary's grief. Even if we have not personally experienced the emptiness that follows the death of someone we love, we've all awakened to a world where nothing is as it once was. On Good Friday, Judith asked a hard question. Whom do we identify with in the story of Jesus' suffering and death? Judas, who was frustrated with the pace of change, the chief priests, who were indifferent to injustice, protecting profitable compromises with the Roman Empire. Maybe we identified with Peter, who was willing to fight for Jesus, but not to be arrested with him, because it's easier to cause suffering than to endure it. Pilate feared Caesar more than the truth. If the government distorts the truth and condemns the innocent, what can one person do? Maybe we identify with the leaders who stirred up the crowd, weaponizing fear and rage while distracting attention from their own complicity. Perhaps we are the crowds who were trapped in poverty under the thumb of a hateful regime, complicit in injustice to protect themselves. Or do we identify with the women and the beloved disciple who were standing by, helpless, watching this horror, unsure if they had any power at all? I felt the depth of Mary's sorrow when I realized that in over 2,000 years, little has really changed. The rich still protect their wealth at all costs. It's easier and, let's be honest, preferable to cause suffering than to endure it. Fear and anger still manipulate. Justice and truth are still distorted. And the innocent and marginalized still suffer at the hands of power. Where is God in all of this? Well, as Mary was about to discover, not in the tomb. When she got there, the stone had been rolled away. Too frightened to go in, assuming the worst, she ran to find Peter. Before she even finished telling her story, Peter and the beloved disciple were sprinting to the tomb. Ever impulsive, Peter charged in and found it empty. Only burial wrappings and the cloth from Jesus' head remained. Then what? There was no shouting. There was no rejoicing. There were no cries of Alleluia. They just went home. Did they give up? Were they afraid? Visiting the tomb of an executed insurrectionist had to be risky. Better to keep quiet and stay safe. Figure it out later. But Mary stayed. Perhaps needing to see for herself, she looked in again. And this time, there were two angels sitting where Jesus had been laid. Her grief poured out in her response. Then she turned and saw a man standing there. Why didn't she recognize him? Grief, disorientation, shock. And besides, resurrection isn't exactly an everyday occurrence. And then, Mary. Every time I think of this moment, it gives me giddy chills. Jesus calls her name, and with that one word, pulls her out of her confusion, out of her grief, out of her despair. He calls her to be a person of the resurrection, the apostle to the apostles. It started with one person and one word. Mary's day began in death and ended in life and hope. So it is with us. Our world today often feels like Mary's did that morning. Everything turned upside down, the familiar falling away, the weight of fear and grief pressing upon us. Where is God in all of this? Not in the tomb. And here's something to remember. There was lament even after the resurrection. What? That morning when Mary was alone and distraught, she didn't know it, but Jesus had already risen. The tomb was already empty. Even though resurrection had already happened, there was still grief and confusion until he called her name. And then, Rabboni. Hope restored, joy returned. Here we are again today, in the midst of despair and fear and even anger. It's Easter morning. Christ is risen and calling us each by name to be people of the resurrection. One by one, name by name, Jesus is pulling us out of our hopelessness, our confusion, and our lament into the new morning of his rising. So the question is, how will we respond when we hear our name? Because the truth is, resurrection happened. Still, the world is broken. Jesus is risen. And still we wake up to news of injustice and division, violence and fear. In our own country, the poor are still pushed to the margins. Politicians profit from lies. Truth is bartered for power. Children are shot in schools. Families are torn apart. Racism, transphobia, homophobia, and hatred of every kind is shouted louder and louder. Sometimes even in the name of God. Where is God in all of this? Mary asked that too. She stood at the tomb weeping, not knowing that resurrection had already happened. And I wonder, how many of us are in that same place? Showing up in the dark, grieving what's been lost, overwhelmed by all that seems wrong, and we wonder, where's God? And then, Mary. He says her name, just as he says all of our names. Not to dismiss our grief and fear, but to meet us in it, to remind us that resurrection doesn't deny the darkness. It overcomes it, quietly, personally, name by name, hope taking root again. Resurrection isn't just about going to heaven. It's about what we do right now, knowing, as we do, that death does not have the final word. Because resurrection isn't just about going to heaven when we die. It's about what we do now that we know death does not get the final word. It's about showing up, speaking out, telling the truth, protecting the vulnerable, loving our enemies, refusing to give up on each other, on this world. Mary didn't get all the answers that morning, but she got a mission. Go and tell. And so do we. Today, we are called to be Easter people, people of the resurrection, not just people who believe in the resurrection, but people who live it, who carry it into the streets, the schools, our dinner tables, the prisons, the shelters, our homes, the halls of power. Christ is risen. The tomb is empty, and he's calling each of us by name. So, listen. Hear the voice of Jesus, and go. Go and be resurrection in a world that's still aching for it. Amen.